I got one of them last minute. Can y'all hear me all right?
Yeah.
Got one of them last minute notorious calls, so y'all bear with me. All right? Praise God. Bible says be ready in season, out of season. We test that around here. We test it out a little bit. Kevin, you never know, man. You get a text message, you get a phone call, whatever. You're up. Okay, praise God. Amen. Exciting. I was talking to some brethren back there a while ago, and I was like, man, my oomph is just what the deal is. I don't know if it's the pollen in the air or the change of the seasons or what. So, y'all, I covet y'all's prayers, man. I know I got my wife praying for me, but, man, my get up and go must have got up and went and left me behind or something. I don't know. I'm chasing it by the tail or something. But Pastor Kevin, he's taking care of some things tonight, so I'm sure he's watching online. Y'all all turn around and look in that camera out there and wave at him. Hello, Pastor Kevin. Amen. Let everybody know that we're here. Lights are on. Amen. But pray they have safe travels and mercies there. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight. I began to pray when I got the text message. I was like, Lord, what word? And I know it's for me, and I'm just going to share it with you. Amen. So if it applies, you're welcome. Go ahead and get that out the way. All right. So I began to pray, and I was like, Lord, what do you have? And, man, a busy day. Kevin sent me the text, and, man, I was knee-deep in bids and proposals trying to put them out and what have you. And looked over there in the phone. I had two messages on there and saw that. So I immediately went to pray, and I was like, all right, I got to have a word. And the word that he gave me that just settled in my heart, I was like, oh, man, that's good. I need that. That's exactly what I need. So praise God, the body should need it as well, right? And the word that he gave me was edify. Edify. I said, amen. Praise God. Edify is always good, right?
That's right.
That's subject to interpretation and perception. Can be sometimes, right? I see a bunch of you guys out there smiling going, I don't know about all that. Edification can hurt sometimes as well. But I began to pray, and I'd been doing some reading on it, and I guess that's why it settled in me. So I jumped online and got some definitions in the Strong's and what have you. And first thing that should pop in your mind is, what does edify mean? Correct? Some people, we've all got different interpretations of what edification may or may not be. Like I said before, it's subject to interpretation, how you view it. And then also, what may be going on in your life? Is it edifying or is it not edifying? So I looked up real quick. I was like, well, what's the definition of edification? And it says here, it says the instruction or improvement of a person morally or intellectually. All right? And I don't consider myself to be a scholar, but I like to know what I'm talking about or know what I'm reading. So the next word that popped into my mind was morally and intellectually. Well, what does that stuff mean? Well, you got to have understanding in order to move forward, right? Someone gives you direction, you got to understand which way. I had a guy working for me one time. He coached a little league and softball and what have you. And he said one time he had a kid, he hit the ball, young kid. He hit the ball, and, man, he took out, ran up to first base. He told him, he's a coach of this guy I was working with. He was working first base. He stopped there. He's like, good job, man. He goes, all right. He's like, when I tell you to run, take off to second, head on to third. He's like, okay, coach. I just got one question. He's like, what is it? Which way second? He's like, all right, that way right there. Praise God. But had he not asked, who knows where he hit? He might have took off back towards home, you know, messed everything up. Praise God. So we got questions. We need to have understanding. Amen. So that's what popped up into my mind. Well, morally, you know, people got, well, what does that mean? Amen. Now, I know I teach a little bit different than Pastor Kevin does. Pastor Kevin probably would have been down on the front row already, baptizing people in the anointed spit and all that good stuff. But I'm a little different, amen. So y'all bear with me. I'll get a little monotone, and if I do, y'all yell out amen, and I'll catch on, and we'll move forward. All right. But so the next question that popped up was morally. What does morally mean? And I like interaction. That lets me know y'all ain't asleep. Okay. So either you interact or I start calling you out. It's simple. We can get along. It's all up to y'all. All right. But so what does morally mean? All right, I'm going to help you out. Right or wrong. And basically, it's according to some sort of standard, and society accepts it. What's good, what's bad, What's right? What's not right? We've all experienced that, right? Anybody got a whooping before? You've experienced morality, okay? What's moral? And then intellect has to do with the way we think, okay, how we process stuff. So edify. How do we edify? Tearing down or building up? It's applicable to us as Christians. Just because you're saved, praise God that we live according to the Word, we accept the Word, then we're to be edified. First, personally, right? Amen? Yes. Come on, church, y'all wake up now. Like I said, I'm not above calling people out. Make you have to stand up, give an exhortation. I'm having to right now, so I'm not going to go down alone. Amen? But edification, first is personally edifying. Amen? That's why God gave us the Word. That's why he gave us this cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, for edification. Why else would you read it? Entertainment? Man, I get 3 or 4 sentences in, and I'm battling the old slumber spirit. Man alive, tell the truth. Come on now. Edification, that's why he gave us the Word. First, for personal edification, so that we understand. And most of the time, not most of the time, but most of the passages that do have to do with edification, specifically the word edify, occur in the New Testament. Paul used it a bunch, okay? In different scenarios. And like I said, I'm not trying not to run off on deep theology or whatever and start spending $15 words because I don't have many of them. But Paul used it throughout, and he was specifically talking to the church of Corinth at the time. They were dealing with a bunch of inter-church issues and thought processes and what have you. Amen? I know that society today, we still deal with that. Me and my boss were having this conversation here just the other day about the business that we're in. And then that led over, you talk to me, and it's going to eventually lead back to God and the church. Amen? And, you know, talking about church, and then it ended up talking about society in general and all that. And he came to the same consensus that I've heard Kevin say more than one time about the church. He said, church would be awesome if you didn't have to deal with people. That makes sense, and it doesn't make sense at the same time, right? We've all been there. You've all heard that phrase before, ain't nothing like family. You know, with your tongue buried firmly in your cheek as you say that. Some of you youngsters don't get that. That's a euphemism or what have you. What's another word for that, brother? Anyways, moving forward. But it's a slang terminology or what have you. Y'all bear with me. I'm going somewhere with this. Edification. The instruction or improvement of a person morally or intellectually. That's... Lord, help me. So I begin to look and see what the actual Greek word was, and pretty cool word that it comes up with here. Some of y'all are taking notes. I'll try to spell this out. The word used is, and I got to get the phonetic spelling of it, you know, the little parentheses that tells you how to say it. I practice this in the truck, too. Oikodome. Oikodome, and that E's got one of those little hats on top of it. Oikodome. And it literally means the act of building, a building, edification. Amen? So all the reason that Paul used that specific word, to edify, okay? So I begin to read Scripture. Lord, where in the Bible? Start showing me where in the Bible that Paul was specifically using this. And, man, he used it in every aspect of the church. Y'all don't believe me? Stick with me. We'll start breaking this down here. I'm going to use a little bit of this technology best I can if it doesn't lock up on me. Starting off in Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. I thought I had all these bookmarked, but I don't. Romans 14 and verse 19. So let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may, what? Edify another. Amen? So once we've edified, how do we become edified? We read the Word of God. Praise God. And then we invest in another according to the Word of God, not something that you come up with on your own, but what the Word of God says. I've got a preacher friend of mine. I've run into him a couple of times in Wally World over there, and just look up, and there he is standing there. Thank you, Jesus. And this gentleman has he's been in the Word quite a while. At one point in time, he was set up in the Catholic realm to become a priest. He had entered into the schooling and what have you, and was headed down that road, and was in his room one night reading the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit fell upon him and began to speak in tongues and was set free from up there. His eyes were opened up from all that, and man, he's a tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled preacher now that goes around preaching the gospel. And I had the distinct opportunity of listening to some of his teachings and getting to spend some fellowship time with him. But anyways, I ran into him, and I said, man, how you been? He's like, doing good. I said, where are you going to church? He's like, right down the road here in Paradise. I said, amen. I said, what's going on? What are you doing? Because I know that he's always doing something. He's doing something with the Word of God. And he's like, God laid it on my heart to minister to millennials. I said, oh, praise God. Amen. Go on with it. Get after it. Because to me, I just want to, anyways, but he was ministering to millennials. Well, I ran into him again a couple of months later. I was like, brother, what are you doing? He's like, man, I'm looking for disciples. I said, praise God, you need to come to church where we are, because that's all we're about, is raising up disciples. He's like, that's good. Then you don't need me there, because I'm going on and reaching other ones over here. I said, that's a good point. Praise God. Looking for disciples. He's like, I'm tired of finding converts. I want disciples. I said, ooh, that's good. That'll preach right there. You can convert somebody, and they can fill a pew, but that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that we're to disciple one another. We're to raise up, train up according to the Word, and send out, right? Amen. You know, when I first started going to church here, man, the turnover rate was quite often. That might have been for different reasons, but for the most part, people were being sent out. They'd been raised up in the Word of God and then sent out. It was like, awesome, that's cool, because that's what the Word of God says. So to see that and then to hear that coming from this brother that I know, it was confirmation inside that that's edification. Amen? I'm going to try this word one more time. It is, what was it? Oikodomi. Nope, I said it too fast. Oikodome. Oikodome. That's the Greek. I'm going to get this word down. Amen? But to build up. That's what the church is all about. And a lot of people, because we don't get into the Word, there's lack of understanding, and if we see somebody leave, we think it's because of bad terms. Well, they must have disagreed upon something. We make these assumptions within our mind or what have you. We make them according to what society may be thinking at the point in time. But the Word of God tells us that we're to raise up, disciple, and send out. Amen? To build something up. Amen. I'm in construction, so I get this. It resonates with me, in my spirit, man, because I'm sent to a project site, and we build up, but we don't stay there. We don't sit in that one place. And I'm not telling you to pray through and then jump up and leave the church. You're to be obedient to God. Amen. He directs our steps. Amen. He places us where we're supposed to be at that time and that season in our life for that edification process. Amen. And a lot of times our flesh will rise up inside of us and go, you know what? I got this already. I'm hearing the same thing over and over. Well, there may be a reason behind that. I've been there myself, you know. I've asked many times, like, why in the world? Why? I've heard these sermons. I've already studied this in the Bible, God. Why are you showing me this again? There's a reason. Because whenever I was in school and I took a test and I didn't pass it, what happened? I got to go take it again. Lord willing, that they give me the opportunity to. Amen. I remember one time I was sitting in health class, and it wasn't my fault. We're sitting at those desks, and the kid before me had written answers down on the desk right there, had written numbers and letters beside all of it. And I looked down just as the health teacher's walking around. I'll never forget this. It's clear as day. Just as the teacher was walking around handing out, I looked down and I saw that. I could hear it coming from behind me. So I put my hand over it, and I'm trying to rub it off and make it go away. Well, she walks up, and she sees me doing that, and she goes, Chris, what do you got there? Nothing. Nothing at all. She moved the paper, and she saw all those answers written down there, and it just happened to be the right amount of numbers that were on that piece of paper there. Somebody had written them down. Not that I believed them, if they were right or not. I might have looked at them if they lined up. Well, that's a freebie. But I was actually trying to erase it. And she looked at me and she said, stay after class. I want to talk to you. I said, like, you got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. So I took the test, walked up there, handed it to her, sat down, and all the class left. She looked at it real quick and graded it right there. And I scored like a 70 or something. I remember it was a low score. And she said, you're going to retake this exam. And I said, okay, I'm telling you, that wasn't me. I was actually trying to erase it. I was trying to get rid of it. She's like, whatever, not buying it, not buying what you're selling. I was like, man. She goes, you come in after school today and take this test again. And I said, all right. And it was actually going to be a different exam. She's going to write up something different for me, so it wasn't the same thing. So I went to lunch, and I hear all these guys sitting around talking. They're like, man, did you take that health test? It's like, yeah, I got to go take it again. And I'm like, really? So they're chit-chatting back and forth. For whatever reason, they're chit-chatting about this thing. I go back that evening, right after class, I walk in there, I take this exam, take it again, take the paper up there and hand it to her, and I scored an 85 on it then. Scored higher because I'd heard them old boys talking at the table about all that stuff, the stuff that I didn't study about, and it stuck with me. And I went back, took the test, and she looked at it, and she goes, I'm taking 10 points off of this. I ended up with a 75 anyways, what I scored the first time. And it's like, But what I got from that was, if I'd have studied, I'd have done better, amen. But listening to those guys talk at the table, there's stuff that I still remember today. You know, our heart's inside of a sack inside our chest, and I used to know the name of it. But if you take health class and you learn about that, do I need that? No, but it's stuck up here, amen. Right along with the theme song to Gilligan's Island, I got it, amen. That stuff is in there. I don't use it, but I got it. It's up there. Same thing with the Word of God. There's a lot of times that we read this and we're like, Lord, why do I got to know who begat who and who begat who? Why? There's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. There's an understanding there because there's going to be a point in time in your life that those things come up, that stuff's going to be applicable. That's edification, church. That is edification. Amen? Moving forward here. He says that also, when we get into Corinthians, go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10, 23. I thought I had at least marked. 1 Corinthians 10, 23. I'm in 2 Corinthians. No wonder it doesn't look right. 1 Corinthians 10:23 says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. It says, all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Amen. There are some things out there that do not build us up. Praise God. And for our intellect, our moral standard, and then our intellect process of how we look at these things, we need to have the understanding of those things. Me being in the construction field, I'm not knocking the construction field, but it tends to attract a certain group of people. Hard-headed, strong back, stiff neck kind of people. Amen? I can say that because I used to be one of them. Amen? That there are a lot of things that come out of individuals. I won't just say men. I've heard women as well. The things that come out of their mouth and the thought processes that they have, they're not edifying, and I'm not to receive those things. I'm to recognize that. I'm to take those. My wife was telling me, she put the scripture in my mind a while ago, that I'm to take those thoughts captive, amen, compare them, filter them through this word here, and if they don't edify and build me up, much less build somebody else up that I'm acquainted to or connected to, then that stuff's got to be put away, amen. We have that moral and ethic responsibility. A lot of the big companies now, they're big into this, man. Huge. I went truck driving for a little period of time, and one of the longest job interviews I'd never been on, 2 weeks. You know, y'all ever been on a 2-week interview? They put you in an on-site hotel. That's how long the interview process is. And if you pass all of it, then they come in and they shake your hand. Hey, offering you a job. Praise God. I'm wore out. Just to go truck driving. Hold a steering wheel. Keep it between the lines. Go straight. Amen. But they're big on moral and ethic processes. That was continually pressed on through. And they didn't come up that with their own. That came from right here, church. That came from right here. The world wants to take credit for a lot of things that God has already done and set in place. Military, it came from right here. Amen. Government, it came from right here. Amen. The devil wants to take credit for these things. The world wants to take credit for these things, but they're not. They're directly from God himself. He instituted all these things. A bunch of y'all looking at me like, what? Yeah, study it out. That's where it came from. God instituted those things. He instituted leaders, and he instituted subordinates as well, down through that process. He says, I'll put you in charge of many nations. Amen. And out of those many nations, he put others in charge of that. And then they all reported back. It wasn't a multi-leveling marketing scheme. It wasn't nothing like that. But it was order that he had. And it's still effective today. There's still order in the church. Amen. A lot of people come into a church and they're like, why do we only sing three songs, bring the bucket down, and then have announcements and then preach? It's just order. Amen. It's just order. Simple obedience. Sure, we could preach first, sing last, and what have you, but it's still going to be some sort of order. All right? You can get in your car right now and strike out, and the straightest distance between two points is what? A straight line. How's that going to work out for you? Let's see, there's a house right there. There's a fence on the other side. There's a ditch. There's a whole bunch of trees. No, the easy way is to get in order. Pull out of the driveway, get on that paved road, go down there to a blinking light, turn left, head down that direction. Amen, that works out pretty good. The car's still in good shape, still running. Amen. There's a thought process. Amen. Praise God. That just means you drive faster, right? Amen. But there's order in those things. So not everything is good. Not everything that's laid out there is good, and we've got to be aware of those things. Praise God. The next scripture that he talks about in here is 1 Corinthians 14:5. First Corinthians 14:5, he says, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except be interpret, that the whole church may receive what? Edifying. Amen. So even in the spirit realm, there's edification. That's the edification that I want to be focused on, is my spirit man. Praise God. I worked a long time on edifying the fleshly man. I know it doesn't look like that with all it, but I own all this. The only thing is bought and paid for. Y'all not getting it. Amen. I own that. Everything else is financed. The bank calls every day and says, get up and go to work. But the spirit man is what the edification that I truly, because when the spirit man is edified, it's manifested through the physical man. Amen. If we're truly obedient to that. Pastors actually preached on that before. That was an awesome message, that the things that that take place in the spirit realm, when we submit our lives to God, they begin to manifest through the fleshly realm. Amen. We begin to see the walk. That's why the Bible tells us that we're to be a peculiar people. How are you going to be a peculiar person if you're not in the Word of God? Oh, that makes a little bit of sense. It ought to make a whole lot of sense. Like I said, I'm preaching to myself, not y'all. Y'all, this is just freebie stuff. You can take notes if you want, but if I'm not feeding my spirit, man, and I've been chastised, my wife chastised me as well. Hey, not reading the Word of God as much as need to. Yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. And I see the manifestation of it in my life whenever that begins to happen. Amen. It's not that I completely lay the Word of God down, but I don't get in it the way that God wants me to be in it. Amen. That I need to just a few more minutes. Just a few more minutes. Just a few more minutes. Because I know that I can sit down in front of a television and just a few more minutes, just a few more minutes. I'll give you a prime example. I'm going to tell it myself. Me and my daughter were watching a show the other night, and it happened to be linked up through the internet. Well, our internet out there in the Piney, no, it's not even Piney Woods, the Oak Woods out yonder, in the evening time, for whatever reason, man, it goes to vapor locking. And I call it the death circle that pops up there. You just sit there and watch it go and go and go and go and go and go and go. And a show that we were watching that was supposed to be 45 minutes long ended up being 2.5 hours long. And we're sitting there going, she's like, another 5 minutes, I'm going to bed. So I'm right there with you. I'm giving up. I don't care what happens to the horses. I'm going to bed. At 11 o'clock at night, we finally got up and went to bed because we finished the crazy movie. Hey, man, these guys rode horses from Arizona to Canada. Okay. But I was locked into it, watching it. Amen. That's the way I need to be with the Word of God. Praise God. That's the intensity that I need. Well, if that happened there, I need to read on and see what else happened. You know, how does this tie in? How does it? That's the desire that rises up. And I know because there, been there as well. When I was a young born-again Christian, what I call a bonfire Christian, y'all ever seen when they do the Texas A&M bonfire where they stack all them logs and everything up in there and they throw that first match on there? You can't even stand close to it. They got to back up like a block away because that thing is so intense. Christians are the same way. Get saved, on fire for God. Everybody's going to hell. You got to get saved. Let's go. We got to go tell them right now. Amen. And then when you become a seasoned Christian, you just kind of laid back and you're like, yeah, they'll show up. They'll come. We'll go talk to them, handful of them, or what have you. We all go through those seasons in our life, but we should strive for that edification of the spirit man to stay in the Word. Set that time up to where, hey, woke up, praise God, get in the Word. Just go ahead and get some Word in me. Breakfast will come. The coffee will come. Go ahead and get some Word in me. Amen. If we break through those old worldly habits, because the old worldly habits, they were easy. Get up, check my phone, no messages. Go get in the shower, go eat, go what have you. Amen? Those things are easy. It's easy. That's why it's the world. Amen? That's why it's the world. It's easy. This right here, it takes some work. It takes some pressing through. Amen? They talked about at my grandfather's funeral, another thing that stuck with me, when he passed, a lot of the family members that grew up around him, they were talking about how he was always prayed up and prayed through. Yeah, I'd always heard him talk about that. Amen. That's where we should be, prayed up, prayed through. Amen. Praying so earnestly and staying into the Word of God that we get breakthrough, that we get understanding, that we get edification from the Word, and it becomes part of us. Not that we just get this head knowledge, but it actually becomes part of our moral and intellectual process. Amen? Like I said, I'm preaching to myself, that it just becomes who we are. I was always astonished at Granddad, the amount of time that he preached. I get astonished at Kevin, the amount of time that he preaches, that he gets in the Word and he goes, you know, and just keeps on going. Like I said, my get up and has gone, and I'm chasing it right now, you know, but he's constantly going because that Word is inside of me. It's that fire. It keeps that steam engine inside going. Amen? So that's what I'm striving for, to get in that as well. A lot of people look at it and go, well, you just ain't got it. I'm chasing it. Amen? I'm chasing it. Praise God. Because I ain't going to go back to what I was. There ain't nothing there no more. Bible says that the bondage and the yoke was destroyed. And if something's destroyed, it's gone. It ain't got no hold on you no more. I went to ITT for just a short period of time, and one of the things that stuck in my mind was a lab instructor. You had theory for one part and then lab for the next. So you would study about it in the book, and then you'd go in the lab and try to put it together. And the instructor was in there, and this guy was an old stagehand. He actually went around and put together sound equipment for the Eagles and all those 70s rock bands and what have you. So dude was pretty cool, and kind of talk on the same level with him and what have you. I was big into stereos at the time and build them and whatnot. And he goes, I don't care what you learn in that classroom over there. It's all good and what have you. But if you come in here and put it together on this breadboard, which is a little board, it's got a bunch of holes in it, and you connect circuits and stuff through it and what have you. He says, you put that stuff together here on this breadboard and you let the smoke out of it, I don't care how hard you try, you cannot gather that smoke back up and put it back in there and make it work. Yeah, that makes sense. Amen. He's like, you tear it out and you begin anew. I said, all right. Amen. God's the same way. Once he breaks that bondage, of that yoke, of that sin nature that's inside of us, we don't want to go back to that stuff. Amen. Even though the Bible, he teaches us that we're to crucify this flesh daily. Amen. We're to seek things that are Christ-like. Anybody here a Christian? That's what Christian means, Christ-like. Amen. Now you're being held accountable. Ooh, you're judging me. No, I'm not. Word of God does that. I'm just telling you what it says. Amen? That's edification. That's a freebie. You don't have to pay for that one either. Amen? Write that down. The next scripture he gives us is, and I'm probably not going to get through all these. Amen? Where were we at? 1 Corinthians 14:12. Already same page. He says, even so, ye forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to edifying of the church. Amen? Of the church. Who's the church? Where is the church? Amen. In the New Testament, that was the church. The definition of the church, we're the body. Amen? We're each individual. We're to edify individually through the Word of God, get in the Word of God, apply it to your life, and then edify in unity. This is my arm, but it's still part of the body, right? Praise God. My arm edifies my body. Y'all see? It edifies my body. Praise God. Now, if I cut this off and throw it off over there, what happens? Amen. Ain't going to make it. Some of this is going to go away. That's not good. Plus, when it's separated like that, it lays over there and it dies. It's not receiving the nourishment that it needs anymore. Amen. That edification has stopped. All right? It's still an arm. You look at it and go, that's one nasty-looking arm. Decay begins to set in. Stench begins to come from it. Come on, church. Amen? That's the Holy Ghost right there. But it's still an arm. You walk up there and look at it, be all decomposed. Oh, yeah, I see the finger bones laying there. Yeah, that's where the bicep used to be, what there was of it. Yeah, that's an arm. That's a human arm, too. That's nasty. But we still know what it was, right? We knew where it was supposed to be at, but it wasn't. The same thing. He says here, he says, even so for much as ye are zealous for spiritual gifts, seek that which may excel to edifying of the church. We're the church. We're to edify one another. Amen? Not to be causing strife. We read the scripture back in Romans that we're to seek those things that what? Bring peace. Bring peace. Praise God. I heard some guys talking the other day, and they were talking about the refuge. Hey, y'all have a bunch of fights over there? Actually, no. Amen? I'm not telling a lie, am I? I don't see nobody with a black eye or a broke arm or nothing over there, so praise God. That takes edification to be able, hey, I know how men are, all right? I work with a bunch of them. You know what a project manager is? A glorified babysitter. That's all it is. Do you know what so-and-so did to me on the job site? I don't care. Did you get all the conduit ran? That's not what I'm talking about right now. Well, that's what I'm talking about. I don't care about your personal stuff. Amen. We're here to build a building. If you don't get along, that's fine. If not, I don't care. Amen. But we're here to edify the church. Likewise, we're to be about Christ's business. Too many times people's personal agendas get interjected into that. Ooh, I got this revelation. My book's already got revelations in it. I don't see your section in here. I'm not putting anybody down about getting understanding, but there's a way to have conversations about things. There's a way to talk about things. There's a way to study things. Amen? Just because you're in charge of the study group doesn't mean that somebody else may not, the Holy Spirit hadn't might have given them something. Amen? And we're to share. We're to edify one another and build up. That's so many churches. At one time, they had, and I guess they may still do some. I've never been a part of one. They call them small groups where people get together afterwards. Actually, I think that's kind of an awesome idea. As long as it lines up with the Word of God, it ain't a bunch of people sitting around murmuring and complaining and backbiting and, you know, and just hanging out. As long as the Word of God is being studied and broken down, to me, that's multiplication. That's spreading out. That's getting outside these four walls and studying and sharing the Word of God. I would encourage that, as long as that's what's being done. Amen. If it's not, there's a problem. That becomes a cancer. All right? It has to be dealt with. That's what the Word of God says. Next scripture he talks about here, that was 14:12. 14:26. He says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. Amen? Goes back to that order that he was talking about. See, this is, y'all got to remember what Paul's talking about. What's he talking about? The Corinthian church. So that means that this was going on in the body. So just because we think we got something going on in our life, they had the same issues going on back then. Same exact thing. Same exact. Devil ain't got no new tactics. He just keeps recycling them. You know why? Because they're effective. Think about it. Go all the way back to Genesis. Y'all remember that book? It's in the beginning. Matter of fact, that's how it starts. But if you go all the way back to Genesis, what did he do? He went into the garden, and he slipped up to the woman, and he said, "Surely not." Just slipped up in there. Put doubt in her mind. Was it edifying? Mm-mm. Fall of man happened right there. All the way back in Genesis. That still happens today. Still happens today. Church members, Christians, not only church members, Christians, people who study the Word of God, deception, deceit slips up in there and says, what do you think about this? Well, I never really thought about it like that. Well, I don't want you to think about it. I want you to read it and say exactly what the Word of God says, because we've been charged not to add to it or take away from it. Amen? Take it for what it is in the context that it was given right then and there. That's what he's talking about here. He says that there, 14:26, he says, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying." Building up, not tearing down. Not tearing down, not separation. Amen. Not separation. That's exactly what the devil did back in the garden. He caused separation. It's not that he jumped on her and turned her into some demonic thing or what have you. He just simply, surely not. Just a couple of little words. Just a couple of, y'all ever had bland food before? Come on now, tell the truth. What's the first thing you reach for? Salt shaker. That thing has gone missing in our house. Y'all pray for me. What's the first thing you reach for is that salt shaker. Just put just a little bit on there, and it changes the whole context. It changes the whole taste of it. A lot of these chefs have figured out that if you put a little bit of salt with something sweet, it actually brings out more flavorings of that sweetness that's in there. Likewise with hot. Mix it in, make it a little salt. Man, it becomes even more piercing when those flavonoids hit your tongue. Same thing. Little word just gets in there. Just twist this just a hair, just a fraction. Construction's the same way. We run a 400,000-square-foot building, tilt wall facility. Y'all know what tilt wall is? They pour these concrete panels on the ground. They take a crane. They stand them up. Makes construction go quick, man. 400,000-square-foot building, they can stand that dude up in about a week. I'm like, well, check this out. They got down there, and at the end, they were about halfway down there standing those walls up, and they's like, hold everything. Building's off by a half inch. 400,000 square feet, half inch, throw them dudes up. Well, over that period of time, by the time they get to the end, it had been over a foot and a half out, and the roof joists wouldn't fit anymore. They wouldn't connect, wouldn't make it, which in turn wouldn't let the deckers come in and put their deck down, which in turn held up the electricians who couldn't put the pipe in to put the lights in, which in turn wouldn't let the painters come in and finish painting. Y'all see the domino effect here? It wasn't edifying. They had to stop construction right then, back that crane up, and readjust those panels and get them lined back up where they needed to be. Amen? Just a click off, man. Just right there. Any of y'all shoot guns? Same thing. Minute of angle? Same exact thing. 1/4 click for what? 100 yards? 100 yards, that's a long ways. And at that speed, miss the target completely. Word of God's the same thing. It must be edifying. It must be lifting up, building up, not tearing down. That's what Jesus, you think about the walk that Christ had while he was here on this earth. Sure, he dealt with a bunch of issues, dealt with a lot of issues, but all of them were for the building up of the kingdom. Amen. Y'all remember when he was praying in the garden? What did he ask? He said, Lord, if this cup could be taken from me, but not thy will, your will be done. I believe that he experienced flesh right then and there. The pain and the agony and the the sorrowfulness, me personally, I believe he experienced flesh right then and there. He was completely man. How could he not? But he didn't submit to it because he was completely God. He sought God's will immediately. He said, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. It had to be done that way. Amen. It was for the edification of the body. It was edification for the Christian, for me, that he hung on that cross, that he gave it all. That's something that we must understand, church. We must understand that he gave freely. God gave us this earth. He created it. And then he gave us his son. Amen. And too many times, I'll admit myself, I get caught up in that. I forget that. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. I forget that. Christ died for me on the cross. He died for me. Sure, there's soldiers out there that have died for our freedom, but he died for my salvation. There ain't a man here on this earth that can die and get me to heaven. A lot of people get that confused up. Well, man, if I'm good enough, I've taken care of people. You should have seen me. I handed out food to some old boy the other day, gave him some money. Surely that'll get me into heaven. Surely. Mm-mm. That's not what the Word of God says. That's not what the Word of God says. Well, me and you got this different understanding of the Word. No. The Word is the Word. It's right there. It's right there. See, our thought processes, they come and they go. They change. Priorities change as circumstances dictate. Think about it. Some people, when the first time I heard that, I was like, whoa, slow down, man, slow down. Say that again. Priorities change as circumstances dictate. You driving down the road, here's an example. Going to go to the Cabela store down there because they got a sale going on. And I need this, and I need that, and I need that. Ding! Low gas. Your priority just changed. We got to get gas in order so we can make it to the Cabela store now. Your whole thought process, stop. Where's the next gas station? Amen? Same thing in this word. Same thing in this word. Well, I'm studying this, but this here is going on in my life right now, and I just don't understand why. Word to explain exactly what the resolution is, what the solution is. Amen? Not that we just resolve, but we solve. Amen? According to the Word of God. Praise God. He says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you have a psalm, have a doctrine, have a tongue, have a revelation, and have interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Edify, build up. I'm not going to try to say that word again because I'll mess it up. But the edification is the instruction or improvement of a person morally or intentionally, daily. Daily I seek that. My granddad used to tell me, he said, son, if you ain't learned something every day, it's a wasted day. Something. Well, that something needs to be the Word of God. I need to be learning something in the Word of God every day. Something. If it's just a little bit, it's more than you had yesterday. It's a whole lot more than I had yesterday. See, the Bible tells us that we're to what? Renew our mind, change our perception, a paradigm shift. Any of y'all getting any of this? The way that we process things, the way that we expect things to have an outcome, that's what the Word of God does. It renews that stuff. It changes all that. I know a lot of, man, this is just simple preaching. That's the way I like it. That way I understand it. I get that stuff. I get simple. Complicated slows me down. I don't need it. Simple gospel. Go out and preach. Go out and edify. Go out and build up. That's easy. I got that. I know what to do now. I know where second base is now. Just got to run that direction. I already came from that direction, so now I'm going to go that way. Amen? If I go back that way, it does nothing. It actually starts jamming stuff up. I'm going this way. Amen? And that guy there that's trying to hinder me, y'all pray for him. Okay? That's what we're to do. We're to build up, church. Not only ourselves. You got to build yourself up. You got to get in the Word of God. You got to. You got to. Now, you still got a choice if you're going to or not, but you got to. And then put it into somebody else. Amen? That's all I got, church. That wasn't the alarm to change off or what have you, but that's all I got. I could keep going on through these scriptures, but it's becoming repetitious. It's simple. Edify. To what? Build up. Build up. Amen. Questions, comments, concern, constructive criticism, I'll take just a little bit of that. Not much. Amen. It's the Word of God. If we simply obey the Word of God. Amen. Y'all stand up. We're going to pray. Brother Coomer, you close us out in prayer, brother.